Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Early on in the game, you know when you're slotted or the ball's coming out of your hand as good as you really want it. I've been working really hard over the last couple weeks trying to get back into that feeling.
Here's the snap, and it is a blitz. Allen back to pass. Looking down the right sideline for Kincaid. Complete, and he walks into the end zone for a 23-yard touchdown reception.
It's Mike Shope.
I felt Cole out there making big plays. You could sense his speed. He was popping some people out there.
Looking for Kelce, and he's labeled as the ball goes flying behind him. Oh, Cole Bishop.
And the Bulldog.
It was cool seeing Cole fly around, man. Like, just so fun out there playing with those guys like Cole and everybody else on defense, man. It's just fun.
Pressure coming. Mahomes heaves it down the field, looking for Worthy. It's picked off by Maxwell Hairston at the Buffalo 32-yard line.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Football Monday continues on WGR. Thanks for listening. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Well, it was an important win in more ways than one, perhaps. What it does to the standings for both teams, and then also what it might mean that the Bills had this kind of performance against the Chiefs up front, making Mahomes' life tough, which has been probably the single biggest problem they've had in the playoff meetings, not being able to do that. So if you want, I guess, well, I mean, would you assume that it would happen again the next time? If there is a next time, I would not.
No, I would assume no such thing. I would sooner assume that Kansas City comes up with a pivot of some kind that hopefully the Bills are more prepared for than they were last year when Kansas City pivoted to this quick-hitting passing game in the AFC title game, and the Bills just seemed to have no real answer for it. Hopefully they run out of pivots one of these years. Or the Bills are just more ready for whatever the pivot is. But yeah, I mean, for all the pushing back I do about, you know, it's the defense. You know, I'm always the one over here raising my hand in these, despite the ghastly numbers, like I've got the ball at the end of these games in the playoffs. Come on, I go win it. Of course they got their points. Sure, they're in the lead. They're Kansas City. I've wanted to see better from the defense. I'm not. I don't mean to just be excusing it or anything, but I think the Bills have had chances to win the games and haven't come through on offense. Set that aside. They did a job on the Chiefs yesterday. Yes, the line, they didn't have their left tackle, and there were other issues, and even as the game went on, they were shuffling guys in and out. So, like, that can be challenging, for sure. But they had their full complement of guys out there to catch passes. And yes, they made some plays. I mean, you aren't going to just completely shut that team down, I don't think. Even the best efforts, maybe. The Eagles in the Super Bowl, okay, whatever. They just made plays all over the field. I mean, up front was dominant. Bishop on the back end, Hairston, they just got contributions. And I think it was just a tremendous job. Coaching, preparation, play calling. Like, they just were on it yesterday. And the Chiefs were reduced to, really, Mahomes was reduced to buying time and hoping something broke free. And, you know, it did a few times. Again, like, they made some plays. You shouldn't be expecting to completely shut that down. But they, for all the scrutiny we give the Bills' passing offense, yesterday the Chiefs' passing offense looked like the Bills' passing offense has looked often, even despite having their full complement of guys. It was drop back, not seeing it, run around, okay, something sprang free, yay, we gained some yards. Or it was out of bounds, or it was he's hit. Like, they dominated that team. I was going to say it. They did. Two touchdown drives on 10 possessions, completion percentage 44%, hit them 15 or 14 times. I mean, they just really had a day on defense. For all the heat McDermott gets for, and rightly so, they get bum-rushed in the playoffs by that team. Even in these wins they've had against them, I don't recall them making the Chiefs look that ordinary, especially on the heater they were coming in on. I thought they looked like the Chiefs of old. Potent offense, explosive, speed that you can't really reckon with. And there's Maxwell Harrison running stride for stride down the sideline with Xavier Worthy. Now, that's an element the Bills have not had. So, sure, there were busts and there were misses and whatever, but, man, that was as good as I think you could have hoped for on defense against that quarterback and that coach. They did a great job.
Really, the second half, too, it's just one score, Kansas City, to start the fourth quarter, a drive that had started in the third. But end of the first half, 21-10, and the Chiefs have first down at the one. Hunt for zero. You know, it serves them right. I just, like, the Chiefs have done so much winning. And we have our own Bills hangups, and they've done about as much winning, you know, at least regular season. But some of these times, it's like, can you just quit it with this? If I'm a Chiefsman, can you just quit it with Kareem Hunt? At the deadline, can I get Breece Hall in here maybe and just sort of do something kind of cool? He did score in the game, Hunt, so, but he gets stuffed there, and then it's two incomplete passes. They take the points. It's 19 yards. And I think that that's okay, because the math isn't the same when it's the end of the half and you don't have any, there's no advantage to be gained in having the Bills, in this case, have to start from their one if you don't score. It's going to be halftime. So 21-13, but then Kansas City comes out, third quarter, three and out. Get the ball again, the Hoyt sack to close that drive off, still 21-13. Bills score a touchdown. It's really their game from their end, 28-13 to end the third quarter, and that's pretty much it. They do try a field goal, the Bills. That was curious. With 27 seconds to go, up seven. McDermott was asked about it in postgame, and he said it was either that or go for it.
Right, he was not going to punt.
I mean, punting is probably the play.
Really?
Yes. I mean, maybe they're so spooked by 13 seconds. Just, you know, let's get a bigger lead. 52 yards. Here's Kansas City now at their 42. One play from a Hail Mary shot. Yes, I did watch that game in the 21 playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you could even, I mean, they could fair catch it. But you got to think, like, the 10-yard line is pretty
doable.
Kind of a normal result there. You run 6 or 7 seconds. I thought that was interesting. But worked out.
Yeah, it really did ratchet up the tension when that ball hit the goalpost.
Suddenly.
I mean, like really? Like, come on. Now I got to sweat this. And we had to sweat it. You know, and there was a jump ball to Thornton in the end zone. Bishop out-jumped Tyquan Thornton. I think he made the play from behind him. I don't know if Thornton jumped his full, you know, his full reach or not, but
he timed that well.
Hell of a job by Bishop. He had, what a game he had. I don't want to overlook. I'm still pretty scared of Poyer being on the field, but they're making it work. And I'll listen to that. Really, the respectable thing about signing Poyer back in the first place to me was for Bishop's development. Right, if you want to have someone here to sort of guide him and show him, Poyer's as good as anybody you could get. You could have Hyde for this. Hyde did this last year for them. He was back, you know, never played, but he was around. Now it's Poyer. He's on the field, but they're making it work. They're trading off series to an extent. I mean, Poyer's playing a little bit more than Hancock, but Bishop maybe is getting the benefit of Poyer, not just being on the field with him, but being around him, playing with him, meetings, all of it. Just maybe it's a part of the stew that is bringing Bishop to the forefront, because he had a monster game yesterday. The hit on Kelsey in the end zone on that series we're just talking about. Well, I mean, Kelsey's not catching that ball anyway, but just a big hard hit on an old guy. Like go do it.
Oh, now you put it that way.
Yeah.
It seems almost rude, but yes. 803-0550 for your calls. Let's go to CJ next. Hello.
Hey, gentlemen. I haven't really been listening today, but I don't know if anybody talked about it, but the best part of the win is the Chiefs go to the third place in their division, and I think that's lost in the conversation of, oh, yay, the Bills beat the Chiefs again. This is not like any other year, and Patrick Mahomes even said it himself after the post game, speaking on, you know, after some point, you keep losing. The losing, you're not going to learn anything from losing anymore. You have to start winning, and I don't know about the next three games that they play, but I'm crossing my fingers the Colts and the Broncos can do us a favor, or in the playoffs, we don't see the Chiefs. That'd be the best thing, because I can't do another loss to the Chiefs at all. I'd rather just not see them.
Your number one thing is, and I'm sure you know, your number one thing is still the Patriots, because the Patriots have control of it. I mean, they have the control over, I mean, a long way to go, but whether you're home or away. And that dictates the odds pretty significantly toward whether you'll play the Chiefs. I mean, you could kind of give the way Joe Ostrowski was talking to us on Thursday, which was more of a guys, come on, about Kansas City and Buffalo. Of course, you know, like, just don't worry about it. He laughed at the possibility of the Chiefs missing the playoffs. So, okay, maybe they're just too good to do that. You still have to get over New England. And this could be like a week where if they don't, it will just sort of get tense. I don't know. Still a lot left. New England 7-2, Buffalo 6-2. Bills at Dolphins, 9.5-point favorite. Come on. It'd be shocking if they lost to the Dolphins.
Something that
the Patriots at Tampa.
I'm just remembering now as the caller just was talking the way he's talking. Late in the week, I think I got to, you know, it's not the top reason I want to see the Bills beat the Chiefs, but to me an added benefit is in a few weeks when they play the Colts, if I still need the Colts to lose a game, and I'll bet I will, that clears the decks, at least for us emotionally, to, I think, pull for Kansas City. Like, if I'm trying to catch the Colts, they don't have a tough schedule. This is a hard game. And if the Chiefs had gotten this one on the Bills, and I'm thinking about even wild card tiebreakers with them down the road, if neither of us can catch the division leaders or whatever, I'm all tangled up going into that game. Now, I'm just, okay, I think, you know, it's a few weeks off. We'll see what changes between now and then. But if the Colts hold serve up to that game, I think I'll be – it doesn't have to matter. I'm just saying it clears the way for the Chiefs to do you a favor and have it not hurt as much, because I still have the head-to-head on them, and I'm ahead of them, and I'm chasing the one, and I might need them to knock Indianapolis off because somebody's got to. And they just sort of keep getting by. Thank you, Pittsburgh, yesterday. Managed to do it. Took the ball away 6 times. Holy cow. So I like that little piece from yesterday, too.
I mean, Denver is probably about as relevant as Indianapolis is. And that's the Chiefs' next game. Bye week this week, then at Denver. So you can already ask yourself that same question about that game.
Right.
Like, Denver is 2 games ahead of Kansas City. They have not met yet. They meet again in week 17 after week 11. So if Denver were to beat, they play the Raiders Thursday night. They're a big favorite. If they beat the Raiders, they'll be 8-2, 2.5 games up for their next meeting, and they'll have the half bye there, having played on Thursday. That's a road game at the Raiders, but a home game with the Chiefs. No, they're both home games, actually. Never mind. Pretty good chance. That's 8-2 Denver versus 5-4 Kansas City. Who do you like? The Broncos get a 3.5 game lead on the Chiefs with a win head-to-head. The Chiefs, I mean, they're almost buried for first place. Almost buried. And then they play the Colts after that. So that's, what is this to say?
Yeah, it's the same, it's the same scenario. I think the win over the Chiefs head-to-head, having them now at 5-4, I think I'll want the Chiefs to beat the Broncos there.
Think about that one.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row, I'll be thinking the same thing probably.
Which, if you don't get that, and Denver is 9-2 after week 11, having beaten Kansas City after beating the Raiders, then thereby at Washington, what's that? At Vegas, Green Bay, at home, home to Jacksonville, at Kansas City, home to the Chargers. Denver's looking at like 12 wins.
Yeah, they're in great shape.
Would Denver take a split with the Chiefs? Yes. I think yes.
Yeah.
Because they've already got a 2-game lead.
Right.
Just want to push with them. That's interesting. I decided yesterday who Bo Nix is, by the way.
All right.
Flutie. It's that Flutie season, Denver. Defense is great.
Yeah.
Pulling out wins. Yesterday, they're 15-all. With Houston late, and he runs for 40 yards on a play to set up the winning field goal. Like they're kind of living a they and the Patriots are similar in this.
Yeah,
which is so funny that the Bills and Chiefs are running their races, and each division has somebody else that's kind of like they may be sort of good, but they have the lead. And this is the Patriots got away with it yesterday, missed extra point.
Yeah. The Broncos really got away with it. I mean, they knocked Stroud out of the game, so it's Davis Mills for Houston. And they had a game-winning drive opportunity really late. I don't remember the exact time. I could look up the
Houston
play-by-play. Denver did.
Oh.
They gave the ball to Houston. They had to punt it away. And then Houston got it back and punted it back, and then Denver made that run. But, they weren't going to get there. I mean, if Houston has anything at all, they could have driven to a field goal, but it was Davis Mills.
Denver has played 8 games. Oh, this happened to me earlier with this site. Denver's played 8 games. 5 of them, 271 total yards or fewer.
I've got them at 9. I got them at 7-2, so I don't know where you're getting 8 games from.
Oh, I'm looking at Houston. Never mind. Guess what? Here's some interesting statistics about Houston. They've played 8 games, and 5 of them, 200. Okay, that makes sense. Bet Denver doesn't have that. Here's Ray next. Hello.
Hi, guys. Mike, like you, I like to play around with scenarios. First of all, I did not think the Bills were going to win yesterday, so I'm glad I didn't bet. Not that I would have and that I was wrong. But, you know, I like to think about realistic things. I'm going to pose a question. Would you rather win the division as the 2 seed and play the Chiefs in the first round? Or would you rather be the 5th seed and play Pittsburgh and go that route, knowing that Kansas City can run through it and they'd have to come to our place in the championship round? And the reason why I say this, I just think it's fun. It's realistic. You know, I've been thinking this way for a couple of weeks, and the stats are kind of showing the standings. And I got to tell you, I want to protect our heritage and our identity of 4 straight Super Bowls. And if yesterday's win, you know, kind of knocks them out of that as we look back, 2-3 months from now, I don't want Kansas City equaling our proud tradition of 4 straight Super Bowls as the only team. I know that means nothing maybe to current players, but it means something to me as a fan. And, you know, losses or not, we're the only ones that have done it, and I'm proud of that.
Okay. I'd rather be the 2 than the 5, no matter what. It could be Baltimore, too. I'd rather be the 2 than the 5, no matter what. 2 home games for sure. The 1 is still the goal. I'd rather be the 2 than the 5. You're the 5, you might get Kansas City anyway, like in the next round.
Right, yeah.
That's easy for me. Yeah, Denver does not. Denver has 3 games out of 9 where they have 271 yards or fewer. That's what they have.
Okay.
But, I mean, no Sertan. You're right. They take Stroud out, and they didn't roll, but they got through it.
Right.
That's one of the hardest games they have left. They have two with the Chiefs, and then Green Bay. Well, I guess the Chargers, too. The Chargers lost their tackle again, Alt, for the season. So both their starting tackles, strength of the team,
right,
are both out for the year. I don't know what to do with them, except probably do what we always do with them. Not take it too seriously.
Right.
Their season.
It did. I'm not exactly, I don't have this locked down, but it felt like they started the year and what a cool story. Look at the Chargers. Then Alt went out. They'd already lost the other guy, Slater, in the summer, right? So Alt goes out, and they are on the rocks. He comes back. It's stabilized, and they're winning again, and now he's out. So I don't know if that tracks, they could be in real trouble there.
They also said today Omarion Hampton, their rookie running back, will not be back before week 12. So he was doing all right, and now they have Kamani Vidal in the backfield, and he had maybe 30 yards yesterday. Tennessee had a look at an upset because they had two defense special teams touchdowns, and they still ended up losing by a touchdown. 803-0550 for your calls. What do you do with yesterday's Bills win over Kansas City? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Monday on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we wanted to keep him in that pocket. And this year, he's been scrambling more than he has in the past 4 to 6 years or something like that. And he's under duress. And I think that whenever we can add that pressure and keep him in the pocket as well, because you got to be aggressive while being disciplined, because if you rush too high, he leaks out. If you rush too low, he leaks out. So I think the guys did a really good job of just being really disciplined today and just doing their 111.
AJ Epinesa, the Bills beat the Chiefs again. 28-21, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. 803-0550 for your calls. Sal at 6. One team, we just sort of backed up and looked at the AFC playoff picture and schedules and some things. No mention of Cincinnati, which, okay, 3-6 now. But could have been 5-4 pretty easily with these two games at home against the Jets and Bears. I mean, they were down pretty late yesterday, but then took the lead after an onside kick and went ahead.
And they were up 14 on the Jets in the fourth quarter last week and managed to blow that.
They scored 80 points in the two games
and
went 0-2 at home. The Bears and the Bengals yesterday combined for 1,071 yards and 56 first downs in a regulation game. Did not go to overtime. 47-42 Bears. So Cincinnati would be kind of a fun topic at 5-4.
But at 3-6, they feel kind of dead.
Three and six.
Why bother? Oh, Burrow's coming back. Whatever. I mean, the Bills are still going to have to deal with them, you know. And if, right? When is that? That's early December?
Yes, week 14.
Okay.
This next week is week 10.
And who knows? Maybe Burrow is back by then. I don't know. I mean, offense is not a problem. Flacco is, it's 3 weeks in a row that he has lit it up.
Well, the Bengals, with or without Burrow, and it won't be with for a while, are going to be relevant in all this. Bye week this week, then it's at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is in first place. Won yesterday. That's a good win. Then New England goes to Cincinnati. Then the Bengals go to Baltimore. That's on Thanksgiving night. And then they come here. And then they play Baltimore again.
All right.
So they'll have a role in certainly that division, if not ours.
The whole conference, yeah.
But they do play the Patriots and the Bills here in the next 5 weeks. 803-0550. How important was yesterday's win? We've been kind of back and forth on that. I mean, I wouldn't say it wasn't important. I'm having a tougher time than Bulldog is enjoying it, I think, because I can't stop being distracted by how these teams' seasons have ended in recent years. And yesterday was great to see and great on, you know, in terms of the standings. Of course, it doesn't mean that the Bills will be able to repeat that if they play again. But
it also does not mean that they are prohibited from repeating that just because they haven't been able to do it any of the four times they've beaten Kansas City in the regular season. These are not hard and fast rules. You can beat a team twice in the same season.
Yes.
Even a great team like Kansas City. Maybe it is more difficult. They'll have a pivot, something different. Maybe it'll be something the Bills don't see coming like it seemed last year was. Although, you know, they did lose Benford early in that game last year, and I'm sure that impacted everything they were trying to do defending Kansas City, as it turned out.
Yep, that's right. Ron is next. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. The one big thing about yesterday's win was not that just beating KC, which is always fun, and it was how the game was approaching. Where the first two, three games of the season, we were thinking, okay, well, yeah, we'll beat KC because they're not that good anymore. But the last 3 weeks, KC seemed to be showing like they were better than they've been maybe in three seasons offensively. And I think what it proved was, yeah, but they were playing the Raiders and some other teams, but we knocked them back down where we weren't playing great football. Even against Carolina, we won big, but we still had questions like, I don't know, it didn't feel right. So I think most people thought we were going to lose yesterday, and maybe badly. And just all Casey's back. They got all their players back. They got them all back. Other than a few big plays, we really shut them down. And, you know, I don't remember ever getting to Mahomes as the way we did yesterday. A couple of sacks, hurting them a lot, knocking them down when I was waiting for flags on some of that. So I don't know.
I thought they really – just me now – there were a couple things that really, I think, went the Bills' way in that department. The pass that he got called for, I don't remember what the result ended up being, if they got out of the hole, but there was a pass where he got called for grounding. There was a long conference about it. Reed wanted to challenge it, but I think it was explained to him that that's not challengeable. So the officials decided that ball was tipped by Hoyt, I think, on that play, and it went for a loss. And again, I don't remember if they dug out of it, but that felt like a big break at the time, because that should not have been a grounding penalty. In part, it was because the ball didn't get to the line of scrimmage, and it being deflected could have been an explanation for why it didn't. So there was that. The play where Epinesa annihilates him on the sideline, I'm really surprised that that was not a roughing the passer penalty. Not only... the hit wasn't late, but it's at the sideline, and I thought Epinesa landed on him. And you're not supposed to do that. Now, what I don't know, I never looked if that's different in the pocket versus out of the pocket. But like the full weight landing on the guy in the pocket, like that's a flag. And Epinesa lands right on him, but on the sideline. So again, if that's different, then, you know, still, I thought that could have been an easy flag.
The timing of the grounding penalty was pretty big. 6:22 left in the third. Bills up 8. Kansas City nearing midfield. Then the next play is a sack, and then it's a punt.
Okay.
So that call could have been important.
Yeah.
Change things
that
around.
That was a big break. And look, this is my opinion on the Epinesa play. I'm obviously grateful they didn't flag it, but boy, I thought they caught a break there myself.
Mm-hmm. Here's Phil next. Hi, Phil.
Hey, thanks, guys. I think the thing that I took away the most is that the offense got back on track. Josh got back on track. You know, he was off target the week before, and he got back on track without really having to be Superman and putting on the cape. And that was really encouraging, especially against a defense that historically has been really good and has been playing well lately. And so that was really positive. I didn't really get a whole lot more out of it than that. And it's just glad to see that he got back on track and they got back on track and we're scoring points against this team. You know, and that was really encouraging.
For sure.
Yeah, I agree. Seeing him deliver, now, you know, there was, of course, your fair share of the at the line of scrimmage stuff, which I guess, you know, is fine as long as it works, right? When it doesn't and you end up punting, it feels like your offense is just impotent. But, you know, they got enough stuff downfield. I mean, the touchdown to Kincaid, the long one to Kincaid, which is more of a run than a catch, but still that's a downfield throw. The pass to Elijah Moore was big. Like, they sprang some stuff yesterday down the field that had been really lacking in their passing game for a few weeks, really.
10 different receivers yesterday, including running backs.
Cook had a big catch there. That was, you know, to help them try to ice it. They didn't, you know, they had to withstand Hail Mary, so it's not like they really actually iced it, right? I mean, they missed the field goal, but it was a big, yeah. That at least got them to, they got to burn timeouts now and left them with, you know, it was big. I mean, they ran a lot of clock after that.
Roland is next. Hi, Roland.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Thank you. I was very pleased with the game and I thought we did lots of really great things. But what took the edge off of it with me and what makes me feel kind of like you, Shope, is that it's just another win. We got to win out, so we can't like pump ourselves up and think that this was really, you know, great and we're all back and everything. If we can't control what New England does, and so we have that game in New England, and we got Indianapolis and these other people. We got to win out, and so yeah, we did. But you know, it's like now on to the next one. We've got an easy schedule. So does a bunch of other teams.
Yep.
It was the thought in the back of my mind that we really had to win this, and despite some of our efforts, it seemed like we ended up making it kind of close, which was, you know, sort of like disconcerting. But we did win. But I'm just thinking that we just have to win out now, and this was where it has to start. So I'm glad we got it done.
Well, win out is probably strong, but you know, because 15-2. I mean, of course, that'd be great, but I'd be surprised if everybody involved here doesn't lose a couple of more games. So you just got to find a way to get ahead of those teams. And yesterday keeps you a half game back. of the teams that all have the one more win than you. Nobody's got fewer losses than you. And so, you know, some of these teams not had their buys yet. They'll have them. And hopefully I can keep holding serve and stay, you know, stay on pace with them. But I don't think anyone's going 15-2.
There are 9 2-loss teams in the NFL. Nobody at 0 or 1. Seattle is 1.
Right. Five of them in the NFC, 4 over on the Bills side, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Bills would be the betting favorite to get the 1, I bet, at this point.
I don't even know where to go. I can't bet
that. Where
would
you find that?
Yeah, I don't even know where to find that, but I would bet that that's right. I would bet that they're the betting favorite to finish as the 1.
Oh, then you're all set. You know just what to do.
I'm all good.
Field Yates of ESPN reports the Bills have restructured Taron Johnson's contract, creating an extra $1.75 million in salary cap space.
So trades incoming.
Maybe that's what that is. Maybe that's what that is. Quick break. We'll talk some more after that. Sal joins us at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.